The Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio is on the air.
Hey, Diego.
Hey, hello.
How are you?
¿Cómo estás?
Everything's fine. Thank you. I'm very excited about the release of the record. It's just amazing, you know, because it's our first worldwide release. So it's a kind of crazy thing.
Yeah, I saw you were on a different label. Was that like an independent label?
Well, this is the first time that we signed with a professional big label. The other ones was independent or very small, you know.
I guess if you're ready, we can get started.
All right, I want to ask him just one thing. Can you talk a little bit slow? Because my English is not so good, so...
That's fine. See, I'm from New York, and we're used to dealing with everything very fast. And I forget that I talk to people from all around
yes,
the world.
But it's your mother language, so...
Right.
So you're used to it. All right.
All right.
Listen to Third Eye Cinema, your source for in-depth discussion of cult cinema. Tonight, the U.S. debut of a fantastic new act out of Argentina, Helker, on Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio. Cinema, where the focus is on film that matters, cult, grindhouse, drive-in, independent, and underground film from the dawn of the talkies to the early 90s. Tonight on Third Eye Cinema, we'll be talking with powerhouse vocalist Diego Valdez of South American traditional metal masters Helker. With a vocal style that will inspire double takes among old schoolers, Diego's rough edge of melodic, powerful, and dramatic tones sound like nothing less than Ronnie James Dio himself come back to us from beyond the grave. With their powerful new record, Somewhere in the Circle, Helker taps into the retro sound so firmly, not only will old hands start getting flashbacks, you'll think there were mainlining bands like Dio except in the Scorpions. Take it from me, this one's a must here. So join us as we talk to a truly amazing traditional metal vocalist from a hemisphere away, only here on Third Eye Cinema. In our first segment, we'll be talking Dio, the state of metal in Argentina, and singing rotten like Angela Gossa. But first, just to give you an idea what we're talking about, here's Helker with Modern Roman Circus.
Yeah.
Tonight we're talking metal, and we have with us a true retro-style traditional metal band hailing from sunny South America. While our brothers down there have been avid and faithful fans of the genre, it's somewhat surprising to our ears up here in the States to hear of a South American band that adheres less to the underground and more towards the hard yet melodic style of the sort of bands we grew up on, the Scorpions, Accept, Judas Priest, and to get right to the point, Dio. So it's with much pleasure and somewhat widened eyes that I bring you this interview tonight. With their powerful new record, Somewhere in the Circle, please join me in welcoming vocalist Diego Valdez from the band Helker. Diego, welcome to Third Eye Cinema.
Hello, thank you. I'm very happy, very pleased, and very amazed about this interview. You know, it's a weird thing for a guy from Argentina to do this kind of stuff, you know. It's amazing. Thank you. Thank you for the interview.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
The first thing that comes to mind when you hear Helker is those vocals. It's very much like Ronnie James Dio come back from the grave. But you also have a bit of a cleaner high note. You know, you have the growl, the tone, and the force and power of Dio, but there's a dash of something else in there as well, which I can't place. So outside of the obvious, who were your influences as a singer?
Well, yes, Ron James is my main influence, you know. And
right.
And you can know that, you know. I love that guy. I have so much respect and love for Ronnie James that sometimes, I know this is a compliment, but sometimes comparison makes me feel a little bit strange, you know, because I hear some Ronnie James in my style, but as you said, I have another one. I think that maybe some of Bruce Dickinson or Freddie Mercury my primary influence is very, very far, far away in my childhood was Lennon and McCartney, you know?
Really?
Yes, I'm a very, very, very big fan of the Beatles. And I start to sing with Lennon and McCartney first.
Do you think that comes out in your style at all?
Well, I think that the music that I sing don't allow, you know.
Right.
You got what I'm saying. Don't allow me to do those kind of, you know.
To express all your range and all your styles.
Yes.
In your vocals that we hear on the Helker records, what do you think is coming across? What is influencing your style beyond Ronnie James? And you had mentioned Bruce Dickinson. Where else are you drawing influence from?
One of my influence, too, on the record can be some Tim Ripper Owens. But it comes from far away in time. I love James Hetfield.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yes. Yes, and during my teenage time, I really was influenced by James Hetfield and Chuck Billy. So I have some, when the music allowed me, some thrash influence, you know, old school, you know.
All I can say is that, you know, the main influence that everybody's hearing is Dio. And all I can say is that if you ever decide to jump ship, I'm sure one of the Dio tribute acts like Last in Line with Vivian Campbell, Vinny Appice, Jimmy Bain, and Claude Schnell, or Craig Goldie's Dio disciples would jump at the chance to get you on vocals.
Right. Well, I like the idea, you know.
So here's a big question for you. You hail from the scenic tourist mecca of Buenos Aires. Do you feel that being an Argentinian band impacts your reach in any way?
Yes. Of course. You are talking about the band popularity?
Yeah, the music getting out there. People know it's
all right. Well, Argentina is a very difficult country to do music, especially metal music, because the metal music here is very underground.
Yes.
You know, it's not a popular music. So we have some record labels, but they are small, you know.
Right.
We have a very poor music industry here. And we have the big media who controls everything and tell the people what kind of music has to listen.
Right.
Well, it's not metal, the music that the media says. So we are all the professionals that we can be for ourselves.
Right.
You know, listen to the great bands and stuff. We learn from that. We have no other way to do the things right.
Right. I'll tell you, don't feel bad, because if you were in America right now, you would still have trouble because, like you said, the conglomerates that control the music that's being fed to everybody, you know, they're playing Beyonce and hip-hop and Disney kids. They don't care about something like metal. I mean, metal really is, like you said, an underground thing. in the States where you would think that it would be a big deal. I think Europe has been pretty faithful to it. So we still get a lot of that, even bands from here going over there and still making it and getting back together. But yeah, when it comes to the States, we're in the same situation almost.
Yes, yes. I come to my mind, Symphony X. I think that the guys are more known in Europe than in America.
It's true. And that happens to a lot of acts. So,
right.
But South America, it's always been one of the stronger and more diehard bastions of metal. But, you know, we tend to associate it more with German or black and thrash. You know, there's bands like Colombia's Witch Trap, Brazil's Volcano and early Sepultura, the Chilean Pentagram, Peru's Bestial Holocaust. Bands
yes.
like that instead of bands like Helker, at least so far as we're aware over here in the States and Europe. So do you think that, again, do you think this limits your prospects at all? Or does your being signed to a major now in AFM helps to cross these kind of boundaries?
I think that the thing is, that is our first time with a major label. So we don't know really what must expect.
Right. <You know? laughs> It's all new.
Yes, it's just dreams and illusions and hopes.
Right.
We are a band who play the music that we love.
Right.
You know, we are, sometimes I think that Dimebag Darrell says something like, we are a band of fans doing the music that we want to hear. Well, and the feeling in Helker is the same. We love the German sound. I love Dio. We try to do the music that we like to hear,
right.
You know, and it comes from our hearts. I don't know if all the people of the world like it, it's better for us, but we take the chance to show our music at the world and are very grateful with AFM and Matt Sinner for the chance to do it.
And that's actually a good approach to have, especially nowadays with the music industry being the way it is, which is kind of collapsed everywhere. Just to go out there and do what's in your heart rather than trying to follow a trend. And people do notice this. People pick up on this. And it's almost like Lemmy from Motorhead said once, you run up a flagpole and you see who salutes. And that's what you're doing. So I hope more people will be exposed to your music through AFM, through this interview.
Yes, I agree with that. I think the same. You know, we do what we do. And Matt Sinner saw something special in these five guys from Argentina, far away. And he decided to take the risk, as we decided to. Because when the thing is, when we try to do the next step or reach the next level, we thought immediately in Matt Sinner because it's our reference, you know. It's
right.
One of our influences, Primal Fear it is. So we contact them and we do a balance of the risk and says, well, in the worst case, we will have a great record with a great sound. And in the best case, well, we are in the best case now.
Now, you've also been a part of a number of bands yourself, some of which appear to be the sort of black and thrash acts I'm referring to. Did you have to alter your vocal style any to suit the difference in approach? Because I can't picture you doing the sort of soaring, clean Dio-style vocals you do with Helker with a band with a name like Azeroth or Retro Satan.
Oh, right. Well, I really like to do all that I can do with my voice. I have, you can find it in YouTube, with a band called Anublar Cetro, and we are doing a Dream Theater song called Honor Thy Father. In that song, I actually do some growling when you sing like the arch enemy girl.
Right.
I don't know how you call that style.
Death metal, the angel of God.
Yeah, we say guttural,
right.
Or rotten. We call that rotten here. You think rotten. So I found so much fun doing those kind of things. You know, change the style. In fact, my first band, one of my first band at 16 years, when I was 16, I sang in that style.
Right.
You know, I started to sing like guttural, you know.
So I have to ask, why traditional metal? Because the old style does seem to be making a major comeback lately, but it's not exactly what you'd expect from bands that are formed in the last 10 years or less.
Well, the style has to do, as I said before, with the music that we love. We don't think in the style, thinking about kind of style could sell more. We just
feel
the music, and that's what we do. We don't work thinking about a hit, thinking about this style is better than the other to do music.
But what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, younger bands, like, I don't know how your age is, but, you know, in terms of the fact that you formed like 10 years ago, tend to focus on and be influenced by the bands that came immediately before them. So it may be, if you came around like 2000, you'd be influenced by bands from the 90s, which, you know, whoever they were, whether it's something like Pantera or something like Alice in Chains or whatever, and you'd be carrying those influences with you, whereas you're digging back into the 80s here. So,
well, at least in my case, I have 42, so
that
era, you know?
Right.
Yes, this is the music that I raised with, that music, so... But this is another interesting thing, because some people, I'm not mad with that. I'm fine with that. And on the reviews, says, well, this band sounds good, but have a lack of originality. And I'm fine with that. But because we are not looking for change the face of the metal or invent or create some kind of new... It's very simple. We love that music and we want to play it. And the thing is, we try to do it in the best way possible. And no more secrets than that.
For my part, I always hate when somebody says that, because I was in a band myself and I had a friend.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was years ago.
What instrument you play or you are singing?
I was lead guitar.
Oh, lead guitar, right.
When you hear the interview, you'll hear me playing on the bumpers. All the music for the show is going to be made.
Right.
But, you know, back when this was going on, I had another friend who was also a guitarist and he ran his own band. And he used to always go on about how, you know, this wasn't original, that wasn't original. And yet, you know, what he came out with, I liked their stuff, but it really, it might have been better if he wasn't so original and maybe just, you know, played tribute to his influences a little bit more.
Yes.
You know, because it's not that important to me. I mean, yes, it's nice to get something new going on every so once in a while. Otherwise, you get the same thing going on over and over with everybody. But there's no shame in showing an influence and saying, okay, you know what? I can do this like whoever, you know, Judas Priest, I can do this like, as long as it's not a tribute band, in which case, you know, okay, you go to a bar and you have a couple of drinks and you think you're seeing Judas Priest. But, you know, when you're putting out an album, then, you know, it doesn't have to be that original, just as long as it's not slavish.
Well, I think that it's about, some people think about what the other people will think about me, you know, but I'm doing metal, so I don't care what the people think about me, because if I care about that,
you wouldn't be doing metal.
I will do, I don't know, another kind of music.
That's,
you know,
it.
So I don't care.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a metal attitude, saying, you know, fuck you. I don't care what you think.
I don't fucking care what you think about me, you know. I'm playing metal.
Right. If you want to make money, you'd be singing hip hop.
Yeah, of course.
You're listening to Third Eye Cinema with a special guest tonight, the Eagleville Desert Hulker. Join me here on Third Eye Cinema.
Hey, Metalhead, this is Sandy Sledge from Sledge Leather, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Crank it! Metal up! Right now?
Whenever
okay, sorry. Hey, this is Kara from Mortillery, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Rock the fuck out. I don't know. Do you want me to do it again? Hey, it's Kara, you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Okay, I'll do it again. Just play like all the retakes so people can laugh at it. Hey, this is Kara from Mortillery, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
In our final segment, we'll be discussing Living in the Ass of the World and Having the Mind of Ozzy Osbourne, plus another killer track from Helker, only here on Third Eye Cinema.
And yet, you guys really have this sound nailed. Now, having told me your age, I understand, but it's a very impressive album. You know, I definitely recommend this to any old school fans out there. So, what is the derivation of the name Helker? It doesn't seem to be the name of a band member, and so far as I'm aware, the word doesn't really mean anything in any languages I know. So, how did you guys come up with that name?
Well, Helker means nothing.
Yeah, right. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Means absolutely nothing. The thing is, well, in the early days of the band, I wasn't there at that time. The guys create some story, conceptual story, and one of the places of that story was named Helker. And then the guys decide to use it as a band name. And that's the story.
The band has gone through any number of bass players, drummers, guitarists, and even vocalists, of which I think you're actually the fourth. Joined the band in 2008 for Resistir and 2010's ADN before you got signed to the AFM for the new album. I imagine there's been a major shift in how the band is received just from getting signed to a major. I mean, you should already be seeing a difference.
Actually, we have two original members. The bass player and the guitar player are from the very start of the band. Drummers and singers and the other guitars, yes, they change a lot, yes.
What I was also saying was that, you know, you joined back in 2008. You were like the fourth singer. And yep. You did two albums before you got signed to AFM for the new album. Now, I'm imagining that you should already be seeing a major shift in how the band is being received just from being signed to a major. I mean, I know you're just kind of hopeful at this point, but already you should be seeing a lot of promotional stuff. Just the fact that you did two videos already should say something.
All right. I think that you are asking if I saw many shit in the band. I think that Helker passed through several changes of members because it's a very tricky thing in this. You must know that because you are a musician too, but the really tricky thing is get some people who think in the same way that you are thinking. But we have our differences. But we are, I see Helker as an entity, you know, and we have a very, very definite part on this entity. Everyone has his work to do, and we are doing this work for Helker, not for me, not for the lead guitarist, not for the bass player. We are one.
Right.
You know, we have that very, very clear. There is no egos in Helker right now. I think that we get the ideal combination of human beings, like five fingers of the fist. Yes. Well, we have a very clear path, and we work for the band. For example, if someone brings a killer riff, if I hear the riff and say, wow, this is killer, I will get the riff for the band. If I have some ego, maybe I said, no, I want to do the riff by myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in this record, in this album, we all participate the songs in ADN and Resistir. We worked, like, for example, Mariano on guitar, bring the riffs. Christian is the bass player, bring the licks, and I do the vocal parts.
Right.
I write the vocal parts. But this time, we get these amazing guys with us, the new guys, Leo and Hernan, who bring his own ideas to the band. We said, well, we can use this, and it's better for Helker. I don't care if I don't write that riff, you know? You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Even I bring some guitar riffs, and the guy says, whoa, killer riffs, and we use it. We think in that way.
That's kind of what I was getting at, the fact that you've gone through so many people in the band so far, and at this point, are you guys finally stable, and do you see a big change in how you think you're going to be received or how you are being received from being on a major now? You know, like the fact that you've got two videos out, the fact that you are getting international interviews, you know, that kind of exposure, you know, that
yes.
It must be a big change.
It's crazy. It's it's crazy. It's very strange to me, really. but you must believe me, it's so strange because I think in that and say, oh, wow, man, I'm talking with a guy from thousands of miles away, and it's just crazy. And I have to answer many internet mail interviews, and never been so busy in my entire life.
But it's a good
news. Answering. Crazy. But it's nice. It's part of the job.
Right. Exactly.
But at the same time, I am very grateful, you know?
Exactly.
Because I know when you are in the underground, when never happened in your country, when I know what it feels.
Exactly.
So I'm very grateful, you know? I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's nice. It's nice. So... thank you again.
Now, you have two videos out for this album, like I mentioned.
Yeah.
A recent one for No Chance to Be Reborn, and an older one for Wake Up. So tell us about No Chance, because it's less of a story video than Wake Up, where the band was barely part of it, at least for the first half of the song.
Well, I think that No Chance to Be Reborn, it's more, maybe more graphic.
Right.
You know, graphic video. It's about a person who had so much power and wealth and was an asshole his entire life, you know?
Right.
And at the end, when the guy is about to die, he seeks for this redemption. In fact, in Spanish, the song are called Redemption.
Okay, because yeah. I was going to ask you, what was the significance of the old guy in the suit? You know, he digs up a typewriter, then he buries it at the foot of a cross.
Yeah, it's a kind of businessman. But I see the video like this guy are walking through his soul. You can see all the devastation, devastated place. And I think that he are touring for his own soul.
Okay, because, I was like, well, he's digging up a typewriter, then he buries it at the foot of a cross, he sets the cross on fire, and at the end, I was guessing, oh, his religious nature must be gone, because the cross that he was wearing, I think that's what turns into ashes in his hand. It was kind of oblique and metaphorical. I wasn't sure what was really being said there. So that explains it.
Yes, it's the cross is their redemption. But in this case, he didn't get it.
Right.
You know, it's like Tales from the Crypt, you know?
Right.
It ends, the end is very bad.
Now, Wake Up, that's more of a Romeo and Juliet sort of thing. But I'm not sure what your role was in the video, since you kept appearing in front of that guy and scaring him.
Right. Well, Wake Up, it's more difficult to understand, but it's a very, for me, it's a very touching lyric, because it talks about a father asking for forgiveness to his son for past mistakes, all kind of mistakes. The thing is that we're trying to make that the guy looks like a junkie or something. And the girl, it's a representation of his daughter or something.
Oh.
And at the end, the guy received all this brainwash from us. And when he leave the house as a new man, something like that. But it's a very touching subject. It's heavy.
The girl also struck me. There was something about her face and eyes that was a bit unusual.
You have an amazing eyes.
Yeah, I mean, where did you find her?
Well, it's the niece of our bass player.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, it's like, you know, Federico Fellini used to look for people that had interesting faces and interesting looks. She's like that.
Yes, yes.
You can't take your eyes off of her. Interesting looking.
Yeah. I know that. Yeah.
I've got to say, this is a very strong traditional metal record. I think I said it before. You know, sometimes it's hard to make a distinction between what's become known as power metal, which is usually more European and fan following in Europe, and traditional, which is a bit more universal. I mean, there's a fine line, but I find a bit more melody in traditional. It's more comfortable and familiar to guys like me who've been around for the first round back in the 80s.
We love the 80s music. We love 80s metal. And also we love the German sound. So there you are.
There you go.
We have all that influences, yes, of course.
It's hard to pick tracks, but I'd say No Chance to Be Reborn, Modern Roman Circus, and Inside of Me are probably my favorites. You know, they're hard driving in traditional sense, and you don't get that overpowering sort of in-your-face feel of modern metal where the sound is just slamming right up against the speaker and up against your face. There's more of an organic feel to it. So how do you guys work in the studio? Is it produced modern style, like with Pro Tools, home studios, you send files back and forth? Or is it more live in studio where you've got mic placement and a more old-fashioned analog recording method?
Well, this time, in fact, all the records that we did was through proper studio, but with Pro Tools and stuff.
Well, everybody's moved to that now, but...
Yes, yep. Yes. So we made the pre-production at home. I have a mini vocal studio here. So the guys send me the riffs, I do the parts, and we send the files to each other, and, well, it's the way that we work.
Oh, so you
this
are
time was a little bit different because Matt.
That's what I was going to say. That's usually the modern style where people will work at home in their own studios or whatever and then send files back and forth. But yes. This didn't sound that way. So you're saying this time was different.
This time was different because mostly we used our usual way to work to do the pre-production. But once that Matt came, we never worked with a proper producer before. We was always our producers.
Right.
So it was a little bit tricky the first time because we have had something in mind and Matt had another thing in mind. But we start to work well once that we know to each other better. Sometimes it was a little bit tricky to understand the Matt decisions. We are so independent. We was so independent all our life that it was a great change when someone came and said, this part, it's a piece of shit. Cut. You know, but we learn a lot. We have all the will to learn. So when we could understand to each other, everything go well. Sorry about my sentence. Sometimes are confusing to me. But you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I do.
That's the point.
Did he make use of your demos that you had pre-produced yourselves, or did you start from scratch and just do it all live in the studio?
No, we start the pre-production. Some songs were made at home, and another songs gathered with the guitar player and played together to have some ideas. And another songs was made on the rehearsal.
Yeah, we have
it all. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's certainly powerful, but there's something about the sound on the album, even beyond the vocals and guitars, that just screams old school. I mean, there's room for the sound to breathe, which is something that you don't often get with the newer production style or the newer bands. It's almost like everybody's forgotten how to get that.
blame to Matt and Achim. Matt get immediately the essence of Helker. And we had some parts that we are kind of experimental parts or weird parts, non-traditional parts. And Matt says, no, you must sound traditional. That was the concept. So he take the songs and do his work with Achim. And yes, take us back in time. And I think that he did an amazing work.
Certainly did.
I really love the sound of the songs.
There's a strong penchant for ballads, or at least more mid-tempo tracks with acoustic intros on the album as well. I mean, you got Begging for Forgiveness, which is my favorite of the type, but also Ghosts from the Past, Flying. So where does all that come from? Because, when you go think of bands like Dio or the Scorpions or Accept, they didn't exactly specialize in power ballads, even though they did have them. It's almost like you're tapping into a bit more of the pop or glam sound from back when, like, bands like Cinderella or Bon Jovi, but still subverting it into the heavier traditional metal template.
I think that is another part of the 80s, because we love the ballad. But for some reason, when we played those ballads, sounds heavier than the traditional ballad. I don't know why. Really.
But it works.
I don't know why. I think it works, yes. But it's another part. We love all the 80 ballads. And in every record that we did, always a ballad. It's nice. We like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to hear that, especially with the approach of the rest of the album. And you've got at least like three tracks that go in that direction. So it was a surprise. Yeah. It's not a part of your sound that I'm not expecting to hear.
Yes, but we can avoid that.
You don't have to avoid it on my account. I enjoy it.
We can avoid that. It just came out and we played. Yes, we have our melody part in our hearts.
Right. You also have a few songs that are more major key oriented or have sections that linger there for a bit. Dreams, At the End of the Journey. Again, this is not something we usually associate with traditional metal. So were you feeling particularly cheery when you wrote those songs?
I think if we are a mix of, we have this kind of German sound, you know, Accept and Primal Fear. But we have also some influence from bands, more happier bands like Gamma Ray, you know. And our personal influences made just this strange mix, because maybe for the Hellcore sound, traditional singer must be like, I don't know, Ralph or something. But they have me. I have a voice, I don't know, a heavier voice? Big? I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, there's a lot of drum. It's dramatic. It's powerful.
Yeah, but another kind of voice, and not just my voice, but a couple of things like that maybe make the difference. For example, the bass player and the guitar player are big fans of Kiss. So maybe it's a little bit of Kiss. I don't know.
That's it.
Yes, you put a voice like mine with a little bit of Kiss, a lot of Primal Fear and Accept, a little bit of Gamma Ray, and maybe you have Hellcore.
Well, don't change a thing because it's perfect.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So do you have any tour plans coming up? You know, do you actually plan to come to the States or Europe?
We really hope so. But yes, we are some gigs here in Argentina, but we don't have yet solid proposed work outside Argentina. Maybe the company must, because we are an expensive band, I think. We live in the ass of the world. You know? I'm talking to you from the ass of the world. So it's not an easy thing, you know. We are not known yet. So maybe the company must see if the record goes well and
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, right.
Yes, but it's okay with me. I always have hope. So I hope that sometime we can touring on the States and Europe too and all the world. Why not?
Do you have anything you'd like to plug, or did you want to point listeners to your website or a Facebook page?
Well, we have our site. It's hellcore.net, and we can contact us also in Facebook. It's Hellcore Prensa. It's P-R-E-N-S-A.
Prensa. So Hellcore Prensa. Okay.
Yes, Hellcore Prensa. Yes, I'm a disaster. I don't remember the Twitter.
Okay. I don't even use Twitter, so that's fine.
Sorry, I'm a disaster. You know, I have the mind of Ozzy Osbourne. You know,
it happens to all of us.
It's another of my influences, you know, but in my head.
Well, hopefully you won't wind up like him.
Well.
With that, Diego, I'd like to thank you again for joining us here on Third Eye Cinema, and I'd love to have you back on to talk your next album.
All right. Thank you so much. I want to say hello to all the audience out there, and I have the hope that in time we can stay together and rock together. So thank you. Thank you very much. It was a very, very nice moment.
All right. All right. So, yeah, it was a pleasure.
Yes. Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
All right.
Keep on rocking.
All right. Bye-bye, brother.
Take care.
All right.
And to close out our interview with Diego, here's one more from Helker. This is Begging for Forgiveness. Thanks for joining us tonight. We hope you enjoyed our interview with Diego Valdez. Tune in next week for week 44 of Third Eye Cinema, where we speak with existentially oriented, emotionally raw, glam metal legend Davey Zane. If you'd like to contact us here, comments, suggestions, or you're a filmmaker or musician who'd like to join us on here, email us at thirdeyecinema@hotmail.com, visit our website, thirdeyecinema.wordpress.com, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/thirdeyecinema. Third Eye Cinema brought to you by the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio. This or any other Third Eye Cinema broadcast, just visit our website or Facebook page for links to the shows in question. All Blog Talk Radio shows are available for archive listener download at your convenience.
Hey, this is Davey Vane from Vane. I want you to get very close to your speakers right now, right up against your speakers, because you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.